Our text this evening comes to us from Acts chapter 1. We'll be from Acts chapter 1. We'll be reading the first 11 verses, but we'll also be looking at Lord's Day 18 in the back of our songbooks. But first, let's read from Acts chapter 1, reading the first 11 verses. That's found on page 1055 in our Pew Bibles, Acts chapter 1, the first 11 verses. Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after he suffered, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, from which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And that's as far as reading in Acts. Then I invite you to turn with me in the back of your songbooks to Lord's Day 18. We're going to be focusing on the ascension this evening, and specifically where Jesus Christ is to be found, or where he is located. It's Lord's Day 18. That's found on page 879. Question and answer 46. What do you mean by saying he ascended into heaven? And the answer is that Christ, while his disciples watched, was taken up from the earth into heaven and remains there on our behalf until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. But isn't Christ with us until the end of the world, as he promised us? And the answer is this, that Christ is true man and true God. In his human nature, Christ is not now on earth. But in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent from us. If his humanity is not present wherever his divinity is, then aren't the two natures of Christ separated from each other? Certainly not. Since divinity is not limited and is present everywhere, it is evident that Christ's divinity is surely beyond the bounds of the humanity that has been taken on. But at the same time, his divinity is in and remains personally united to his humanity. And then finally, question and answer 49, how does Christ's ascension to heaven benefit us? And the answer is, first, he is our advocate in heaven in the presence of the Father. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that Christ, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. And third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a corresponding pledge. By the Spirit's power, we seek not earthly things, but the things above, where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. We ask God's blessing upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you may know, this past Saturday, we celebrated what is called Reformation Day. And in order to remember this occasion, we are actually jumping ahead one Lord's Day. We'll go back to Lord's Day 17 next week. We're jumping to Lord's Day 18 this week because Lord's Day 18 beautifully summarizes for us one of the specific, unique aspects and teachings of the Reformed Church. Specifically, we are going to answer the question, where is Jesus? And how is Jesus with us? In what way should we as a church, as believers, expect Jesus' presence today? Where should we look when we want to turn our eyes towards Jesus? Where should we specifically direct and focus our worship? Is Jesus to be worshipped as if he were physically present, or do we turn our eyes to heaven? Do we worship Jesus in the elements of the Lord's Supper, or is he sitting at his Father's right hand in the flesh? Well, now we come in today to Lord's Day 18. It's a particular teaching which is sometimes called the extra Calvinisticum. And that simply means that the deity of Jesus Christ is not limited to his human nature. The deity of Jesus Christ remains beyond the bounds of his humanity. And thus the presence of Jesus Christ is not restricted, is not limited to wherever he may be found bodily. Now that might seem like a strangely specific and complex issue, but it helps us to understand what we mean when we say that Jesus is indeed present with us, and at the same time, Jesus is physically present as our high priest at the right hand of his Father in glory. And understanding how Jesus is present opens the book for us concerning why we say that Jesus is not physically present at the Lord's Supper. He is not physically present in the elements. His body is not turned into the bread that we eat. His blood is not turned into the wine that we drink. But that does not mean Christ is absent. He is surely with us, as he promised in Matthew 28, I am with you always. So today we consider this theme that Jesus Christ promised to be and really is present with his people until the end of the age. In our first point then, we look at what do we mean when we confess in the Apostles' Creed every week that he ascended into heaven. Well, when we confess together as a church that Jesus ascended into heaven, what we mean is that Jesus rose physically from the dead. He spent 40 days talking, teaching, giving convincing proof to his disciples. And at the end of that period, he ascended up into glory. He is brought into glory. Our passage says in Acts 1 verse 9. He was brought up while his disciples were watching. There was a physical change in the residence and where Jesus was found. And even as the angels said in Acts 1 verse 11, the same Jesus who you saw go into heaven will come back from heaven. So to answer the question, where is Jesus now? The first part of that answer is this. Jesus is physically located in a real location called heaven. It was not some show or trick. It was not some sleight of hand or figure of speech. When Jesus was lifted up off the ground, brought up into the sky, and then hidden by the cloud, his body moved from being once walking on this earth to now being in the presence of his Father. As the angels told the women after Jesus was resurrected from the grave, so we could say concerning his ascension, he is not here. He has ascended, just as he said. Now, when we say that Jesus went up into glory, we recognize that heaven is not just a place located somewhere up there, located in a direction opposite from down. We are confessing that Jesus was translated to a different, a real, called a spiritual realm. It is a real place, it is a literal place, but it cannot be seen with the eyes of the flesh. So, for example, if you were to jump on a rocket today and travel to the farthest reaches of not only the Milky Way, but the great expanse, the unknown out there, you would never arrive at a place called heaven. It is a real place, it is a literal place, but it cannot be arrived to by way of a destination by man. But Jesus Christ is really there, and he is there in the flesh, sitting at the right hand of his Father. This event was testified to by multiple witnesses. The disciples saw it, and the angels testified to it. What you saw, disciples, was Jesus going to heaven, and he will come back one day. Now, after Jesus went into heaven, he remains there in heaven until he comes again. Question answer 46 puts it this way. What do you mean when you say that he ascended into heaven? We confess that while the disciples were watching, Jesus was brought up into heaven, and he will remain there until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. So the second thing we are confessing when we say that Jesus ascended into heaven is that he is right now, at this very moment, still in heaven. He is not in the heaven in the sense of the starry host that you can see. Heaven is hidden currently from our eyes, but he is still there to this day in heaven, remaining there, staying there. And we should not expect a physical meeting with Jesus on earth until the time arrives when the end of this age is brought to its end, when Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. So Jesus Christ was brought up into heaven, and he remains in heaven until he comes back to judge the living and the dead. So we do not expect any visions or direct audible conversations with Jesus. We don't travel to any place on this earth in order to experience or to meet Jesus. There is, as we said the last couple weeks, there is no holy place that is closer to Jesus on this earth. We are as close to Jesus right here as we would be wherever we would be on the face of this earth. But Jesus Christ is going to come back. And when he comes back, we could say it this way, the next time that we will audibly hear the voice of Jesus is when he comes back and he commands the dead to rise on the day of judgment. Now, although Jesus is not now physically present on this earth, that does not mean that Jesus is unconcerned and uncaring about the present state of the church. Rather, he continues to do his work as our perfect prophet, priest, and king, our advocate, and our intercessor. Question and answer 49 puts it this way. What benefit do we have in knowing that Christ ascended up into glory? That he remains, first of all, our advocate in heaven in the presence of his Father. At the right hand of the Father in glory, Jesus Christ is praying for his church. He is praying for his church, and he's pouring out blessings upon us. He continues to rule over all, exercising all power and authority from this exalted position. The fact is, congregation of Christ, we have, as the most exalted position, the highest position that can be found anywhere at any time, the position of King of Kings and Lord of Lords is a position that is filled by a man. By our brother. At the right hand of the Father in glory, Christ is ruling, having received, as we read in Matthew 28, all power, all dominion, all authority, everything being placed in subjection, in submission under his feet. Jesus Christ is in glory, ruling there for our good. Although he may not physically be on earth, his separation for us from us in the flesh does not mean that we are at a loss or somehow in a worse position, because he is in the position of power and glory where he is ruling and where it was the Father's will to exalt him. So to be clear, Jesus Christ is not now physically on earth. We should not seek to, it should not be our desire to pull him down from that position of glory in which he is in. True worship, when we worship the Lord, must be directed to the Lord who is sitting at the Father's right hand. We do not worship or adore earthly things, only that which is truly divine and remains in heaven. So Jesus is to be worshiped where he is in heaven, and he is not to be worshiped or approached through physical earthly objects. He is our final and perfect high priest. Being the final and perfect high priest in the heavenly temple, in the most holy place in glory, the true temple, in that heavenly Jerusalem that is to come down one day, he remains there as our perfect and final high priest, meaning we need no other priest, no other sacrifices, no other altars, no other shrines, no other holy place here on earth. Because the reality has come. Jesus Christ has, as Hebrews 4 says, passed through the heavens as our high priest. The Old Testament shadows, finding their fulfillment, are now finished. That chapter is closed. There are no longer temples, no longer sacrifices, no longer altars to be found here on this earth. So when it comes to the celebration of the Lord's Supper, we do not look at the elements, at the bread and the wine. We do not look at the elements, at the bread and the wine, as if it is changed into the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ, because the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ is raised, exalted, glorified, and remains in heaven where he will remain until he comes back on that last day. But let us not neglect the benefit of Christ's ascension that we already have. Because not only do we have the high priest ruling from heaven, working in and through all things, all power and authority being given to him, he is also doing a work for us. He is preparing a place for us. John 14, I go before you to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may also be. What Jesus is currently doing right now in heaven is not only ruling over everything, but he's getting heaven ready for us. He's preparing it. He's building rooms or mansions, which we might occupy one day. The exaltation and glorification of Jesus Christ, when he was not only raised, but when he was glorified and ascended, now in glory, what happened to Jesus Christ is a first fruit and a guarantee of what we will enjoy one day. And here again, we look at question and answer 49. Since Jesus Christ is not now on earth, but since he is right now at the Father's right hand, glorified, ascended into heaven, we have in heaven a guarantee, a pledge that Christ will take us, his members, to be with him. What happened when Jesus Christ was not only raised and glorified, but ascended, brought up into glory, is that for the first time ever, a resurrected, glorified man, yes, he's more than a man, but he is truly a man. A resurrected, glorified man was brought into the Father's presence. A truth, a benefit, a promise that we one day too will enjoy what happened to Christ. So the truth is, when we are worshiping, we are not worshiping things that can be found here. We are worshiping him who is exalted, currently dwelling in glory at his Father's right hand. As the disciples learned as they looked up, Jesus cannot be seen with the eye. He is hidden from our view. But that does not mean that Jesus cannot see us. Nor does that mean that he has ceased to care for us. So in our first point, we are simply establishing the fact Jesus is not to be found on earth. His physical presence is not going to be found on earth until he comes back on the last day. That applies to the Lord's Supper, for one example. But when we look at our second point, we find that not only is Jesus in heaven where he will remain, he is also present with us. He is present with us, not physically present, not present in the physical flesh, but present nonetheless. Now, we could maybe say it's similar by way of illustration, similar what happens when a person enjoys the blessings of the sun. The sun is an object that is not physically present. It is removed. It's not found here on the earth. But the benefits of the sun's presence are enjoyed by all. Indeed, when we wake up in the morning, we see the sun shining outside. We say, I'm going into the sun. I'm coming out of the shade into the sun, not meaning that we are actually standing on the sun or in the sun, but enjoying the benefits of the sunshine. In a similar way, although Jesus is removed, he's not physically present, there are benefits that proceed from him that directly benefit us. The presence of Jesus Christ is made known by his divinity, his grace and gifts, and his spirit. As question and answer 47 says, how is Jesus present? Didn't he promise that I will be with you till the end of the age? Isn't Christ present? Didn't he promise that to his disciples? Christ is truly present. He's not on the earth in the flesh, but by his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent. Remember, as we found in the introduction, that Jesus Christ is the God-man, fully God and fully man. His two natures are not mixed, they're not confused, they're not deluded. So although the human nature of Jesus is glorified and remaining in heaven, his divine nature is beyond his human nature. Now this is an important point. Because the promise that Jesus made to his disciples in Matthew 28, saying, I am with you always to the very end of the age, if Jesus, upon ascending, meant that he was no longer present, he broke his promise, which Jesus cannot and would never do. So is Jesus with us? Is Jesus present today? Can we say with a heart of faith that Jesus is present in the church? If we say that, what do we mean by that? Do we mean that his teaching is simply present? That we remember him and in that way he is present? Do we mean what some people say when they say, oh, I have a loved one who died, but they're still present because I still remember them and I set a table setting for them. I pretend that this loved one is still here. Is that what we mean when we say that Jesus is present? Surely not. Jesus is really and truly present, but his presence is by way, first of all, by his divinity. Concerning the Godhead, since the Godhead is present everywhere, and if you have one person of the Godhead present with you, you therefore have all three persons present. Jesus said that. I and my Father are one. If you have me, you have my Father. So when we come to our third aspect, or the third way in which Jesus is present, which is by way of his Holy Spirit, we're going to see that in just a moment. Because there is unity within the Godhead, if God is present in any way, then the Son must be present, because the Son is God. So he is present first and foremost by way of his divinity. The second way in which Jesus is present is by way of his grace and his gifts. Since Jesus Christ is King, he is making his kingdom known here on this earth as he gathers his church and causes his word, the good news, to be proclaimed. If the voice of Jesus is heard, then Jesus must be present. If the gifts of Jesus are present, then the giver is also present. As Jesus promised in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in his name, he will be present. Jesus said that. If two or three are gathered in my name, I am present with them. So we could say whenever the church is gathered, whenever the means of grace are being participated in and being received, his grace is going forth. His kingdom is being established. His people are being gathered. Christ is present. But what does that mean for the sacraments? Specifically the Lord's Supper. In what way is Jesus present at the Lord's Supper? We've already established that Jesus is not physically present. He is not present in the elements, in that the elements turn into his physical flesh. But that does not mean he is absent. Jesus is really and truly present when we celebrate the Lord's Supper by faith. There is a spiritual presence. Historically, the Reformers called it a mystical union. There is a real union that takes place at the Lord's Supper. We are being united to Christ, our head, by faith. The Spirit is joining the church to Christ, her Lord. And he is feeding us, nourishing us, strengthening us. We are not bringing Jesus down here to this earth, but our souls are being brought up to where he is in heaven. Our hearts are being changed by faith. We begin to look more like Christ. We begin to love our head as the body is made to look like her Lord. So at the Lord's Supper, when we are celebrating with a heart of faith, we can say rightly, we are feeding on Christ. That the host is nourishing us with his body and his blood. That is what we are saying. But the way in which we do it is by faith through the work of the Holy Spirit. We being transformed into His image, His body and His blood affecting us, given the mind of Christ. Not a change in the elements here below, but a change in the church making us like Christ up above. So that's the second way in which Christ is present, is when His gifts and His grace is present, Christ is present. And the third way in which Christ is present is by way of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ in Romans 8, verse 9. And we already established the fact that if the Holy Spirit is present and the Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ, Christ must necessarily also be present. Jesus promised in John 16, it was for our good. It's the good of the church, the benefit of the church. It's for our blessing that Christ ascend into glory because He was going to pour out His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Divine Comforter on the day of Pentecost. So what happened on the day of Pentecost is that the promise from the Father, the Spirit of Christ, is poured out in all His fullness upon the church. And in this way, Christ is liberally distributed to the body of Christ. So then when you are asked, how is Jesus present in the church today? The answer is found at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is the answer to the question, how can Jesus be physically present and remaining in heaven and yet spiritually present here on this earth? The Holy Spirit is the answer to that question. The Spirit of unity that unites us to Christ, our head, and to one another as the fellow body members of Christ. Remaining in Him, John 15 says, He came down by His Spirit to remain in us, making us temples of God while we walk here upon the earth. To conclude, understanding what we mean when we say that Jesus is present, that He's never absent, and when we confess that Jesus ascended into glory, understanding what we mean when we confess this not only helps us understand what the confession is saying, but it gives us great encouragement. We can cry out, as the church has of all ages, "Come, Lord Jesus." Why do we want Jesus to come back? It's because we want to see Him in the flesh. We want to rejoice in Him and see Him with these eyes, seeing our Redeemer stand here upon this earth. But we also have the great comfort of knowing that in heaven He is working for our good. He's not forgetting us. He's working for our good, pouring out His blessings upon us and praying for us and giving us His Spirit. And by way of His Spirit, we enjoy fellowship with Him and He with us. As we found in our theme, Jesus Christ promised to and really is present with His people unto the end. God's people. As God's people, we are called to live by faith, not by sight. We cannot see Jesus with these eyes of the flesh. But by faith, we do see Him. By faith, we do love Him. By faith, we are joined to Him by faith. Right now, when we are worshiping in spirit and in truth, we are joined to Jesus Christ by faith. And Christ gives us tokens of His love as we remain here on earth. Absence makes the heart grow stronger, grow fonder. So we love Him all the more as we look forward to the time when He who was raised, glorified, and ascended would descend once again on the clouds of glory. As the disciples saw Him go up, He will come back and make all things good and new. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the promise of Christ's presence. And our hearts yearn, O Lord, we pray with the church of all ages, come, Lord Jesus, come make our faith sight. We want to see Jesus in the flesh. We want to see the One who has died for our sins. But until then, we thank You for the benefits and blessings of His presence that we enjoy in our heart by way of the Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with faith, although we cannot see Him. Help us to trust Him and help us to know that He is working for us, that He's working all for our good. Oh Lord, we do thank You for Jesus Christ and His life. We thank You that one day He will indeed come back. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.